You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DSTV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Six minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. Thank you for all of you that came through to the DHW Community Hall in Katlehong yesterday for our 702 elections town hall meeting. We have another one coming up in Soweto in about 3 weeks' time, which will focus on national issues with national leaders of political parties. So we'll share the details with you in due course. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. In a moment, we'll talk about Marcus Uster. Remember him? The Steinhoff fraud mastermind. Is he dead or is he alive? The authorities told us he's dead. But then some people feel the authorities themselves don't seem to be able to confirm where his body was kept. Where's the post-mortem? What I've done is talk to the SAPS and ask if they can help clarify whatever questions you have about this so that you are not kept wondering and confused about what happened to Marcus Uster. So I'll play you a voice note that I got from the spokesperson for the police. She just wasn't able to join us for a live interview because she's got a meeting. But in the voice note, she answers the pointed questions that I had asked her. So I'm going to play that voice note for you in a moment.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Okay, so there's a question that a lot of people have been asking about Marcus Uster. I have been asked many times, my colleagues have been asked as well, and the question that is being asked is he really dead? Now, regardless of what you think of Marcus Uster, how you feel about him, he was still someone's loved one. I mean, his family loved him. So I can only imagine how the family feels about these questions and doubts about his passing, or should I say alleged passing. But at the same time, this is the man who engineered the biggest financial corporate fraud yet in the country. This accounting scandal cost investors about 200 billion rand in shareholder value. It cost pension holders huge losses in the value of pensions held in the government employees' pension fund. So people who were impacted want justice. And not only those who were impacted, but they wanted to see him in orange overalls. So I understand when people start asking, are we sure that he's dead? I don't fault them at all. The media reported, and by media I include us, they reported after the authorities confirmed that Uster killed himself. He left his home, went for a walk, and shot himself. This was, I think, on the 21st of March. And at the time, he was due to head to Pretoria to hand himself over to the SAPS. So it looks like the Hawks were closing in on him. He was finally probably going to be in orange overalls. But that wasn't to be. So since then, there have been so many questions about his body. Was that confirmed as his? Who saw the body? Where was he buried? Etc., etc. And first of all, I think we all need to be careful not to spread false information and be sensational, obviously. But we also, as a media platform, have a responsibility to clarify things for you. And you need to make up your mind, right, when some kind of clarification is put before you. You know, I actually called somebody else yesterday who is in the police to just find out what's going on. Like, did you guys see the body? And this person has said to me, no. And I said, that's weird though, because I mean, the police have launched an investigation, an inquest into his death. And at the time, that's the confirmation that we had. But I was told, no, they did not see the body. I didn't understand the rationale behind that. So I went to the police spokesperson, Atlenda Mati, and I asked if she can confirm that the police indeed confirmed that he was dead and that was the body of Marcus Yosta. So she asked me to give her some time while she gathers information this morning, and which she did. And after she gathered that information, she then sent me a voice note to use on air, because she's going to be in a meeting, so she won't be able to join us for a live interview. So I want you to listen to what she says in this voice note.
On Thursday, the 21st of March, at about 15:21, the SAPS Hermanus police officers were called out to a shooting incident. Police arrived together with paramedics. They found a man with a gunshot wound to his upper body. The man was still breathing, was transported by paramedics to a nearby hospital together with police. The deceased passed on in hospital. The SAPS crime scene examiners, who are trained in crime scene management and investigation, attended to the initial scene where the alleged shooting took place, as well as the hospital where the deceased was certified dead. An inquest docket was immediately registered. An inquest is registered where an investigation is necessary to establish the facts on the cause of death of an individual. The crime scene examiners took the prime residue test to determine if the deceased was the one that fired the weapon, and they took DNA to establish the identity of the deceased. The police will always take DNA in all cases. We take DNA to ascertain identity of the deceased. Photographs were taken. Firearm used in the commission of this incident was confiscated and is still in the possession of the forensic science laboratory, where it is being taken for ballistics testing. It has been established that the firearm was registered in the deceased's name. We cannot divulge details that is in the mandate of the Department of Health. The post-mortem report also belongs to the magistrate. The burial and memorial details is a family matter which police don't get involved in. Police stick to their mandate, which is to investigate. Police are still investigating the inquest. We request the media not to spread false information and sensationalize the matter. We call for responsible reporting. Should there be an update, all relevant departments will communicate.
So, I mean, that's a detailed voice note, right? About the DNA that's been taken. So after she sent that voice note, I said to her, but you keep referring to the deceased. Can you just do another voice note where you indicate Marcus Yosta? Deceased could be anybody. But then she was getting into a meeting. She did say that it is Marcus Yosta when I said, but can you confirm if that deceased you're referring to was Marcus Yosta? She says, yes, according to our reports. So I said, so the man was certified dead and the police are sure of that. And she said, the preliminary investigation and the evidence that has been collected so far tells them, as the police, that it is him. So I'm asking you if that convinces you. Because what I want to do here is to give you clarity so that there's no continued confusion. They're saying, we've done DNA tests, we've collected all the evidence we needed to collect, and all our preliminary, in fact, we even tested and checked the gun that this deceased used. And we've confirmed that that gun was registered in the deceased name, Marcus Yosta's name. So from all that preliminary investigation, they are satisfied that it's him who died. Now, are you convinced? Does this answer your questions? And what would satisfy you that he's dead? Because one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, how easy is it for rich people to organize something like this? Is it even possible? Medical doctors listening to us, is it possible for people to fake their death like that, where they can shoot themselves, right? And then they appear dead only to resurrect 7 days later. And I'm asking that because people who are rich are capable of organizing and doing anything. It may very well not be the case here, but with rich people, anything is possible. In fact, I'm reminded of a case of, who's that man? There was a German US billionaire who was 64 years old. I'm just forgetting his name. I think it was Karl Everon Harb. I think that was his name. He was about 64 years old. He was a supermarket billionaire. He disappeared 6 years ago while hiking in Switzerland, and he was declared dead. This is 6 years ago. Guess what's been found now? He's been found apparently living with his 44-year-old mistress in Moscow, Russia. And at the time, the authorities launched a days-long search. There were helicopters. There were rescuers in the area, but his body was never found. And now, there's a possibility that this person has just been living with his mistress. Imagine. So, anything clearly is possible. Remember what happened with Kevin Watson? I mean, there were so many questions that were asked about his own death and whether or not, I mean, he was under such severe pressure at the time. The State Capture Commission had just heard how he used Bosasa to bribe government officials in order to get tenders, but also in order for the law enforcement authorities not to go after him. And at the time, then he dies, when all of us were looking forward to the day that we're going to see him in orange overalls. So does that satisfy you? What kind of evidence would you need? You know, I was watching, my most favorite movie is Salt, because I love and I'm obsessed with Angelina Jolie. My favorite movie is Salt. And on Salt, there's a thing that Angelina does where he fires at, I think it was the president of Russia, like in the movie. And then he is certified dead, I think, at the time. But 3 days or 4 days later, like, he was alive. And there's a reason why Angelina did that. Angelina didn't want to kill him. So that has always been on my mind, about how there's possibly things you can do to appear dead. And I don't know. That's why I'm appealing to medical doctors. Is something like that even possible? Because when your heart stops, it stops. No? It's possible that your heart can stop, and then for 3 days or so you're certified dead, and then later when at the mortuary or when the family claims your body, and then somehow they do things to bring you back to life. I don't know. But I'm just giving you this information from the police to say they say they have satisfied themselves that this was Marcus Yoster. But after listening to that voice note, are you satisfied? Or do you think you need more evidence? It's 21 after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Yeah, these things are not far-fetched, guys. Remember Thabo Bester? These things are not too far-fetched. Kustas, you're calling us from Midrand. Good morning.
Yeah, bo. Yes, good morning. Clement.
Yeah, I can see you woke up at 4 a.m. this morning.
And then I woke up very late this morning. Never mind that I sound like a baby.
Yeah.
Clement, the story of Marcus Yoster and the manner in which it has been handled with the media is very bizarre. Now, I operate in this place, Clement, because the story of Marcus Yoster has legs. Now, let me tell you, Marcus Yoster has victims. These are government employees' pension fund. Where are the faces? Marcus Yoster's story has Belinda Odendal, who wants 150,000 rand from the money got from Marcus Yoster, whom he got from Steinhoff. Who is Belinda Odendal? Who is this person who lives on 150,000 rand expenses a month? There's manner in which Marcus Yoster is dead from a media perspective. Where are the relatives? Where is the neighbor? Where is the cousin of the cousin of Marcus Eustace? If this story would have been another person, you would know who the uncle is, would have been on the media right now. The cousin would have been in the media right now. Would have known where they live, what the type of the gun. Where was, what we have as a public is the word of Atlenda Mate. There is no evidence. Her word is not the evidence. Her word is to say to us, believe what I'm telling you as is true. No, we don't live like that. We live based on documented evidence. Where is the documented evidence? Let me tell you where the documented evidence we have. What we have is a scene of with blood next to the ocean. That's the only picture.
And so where has anybody seen the pictures of him? Has anybody seen pictures of him? Because all we've seen are just like the blood stain, you know, there where he shot himself. But I've not seen that. But normally, in cases like this, you know, Kustas, we live in a generation now where even when people are involved in accidents, the first thing they're doing is to take pictures and take videos of that tragedy. And
exactly.
In this case, the shotgun went boom, and then people saw him there, but they only took videos of him, of the blood stains, and not necessarily him?
Yeah, you see, Clement, this question you're asking are valid. It cannot be a person who is that powerful. There is no way there can only be one picture. It's not natural. What is natural is people say, hey, guys, I've got a video of Marcus Houston. Hey, come and see. Mm. That's how things work.
Mm.
Clement, how many jets call from Cape Town that day? Private jets. How many took off next to Stellenbosch? Because there's an airport around there. Who took off that day? So what I'm trying to highlight to you, Clement, is that the media, put it this way, media is supposed to compete with the story, Clement.
Mm.
There is none here. Now you ask yourself, why is independent media never fall into this? Why is EWN, News 24, Netwerk,
Sunday Times?
Yes, City Press. They didn't even go outside his house to camp to see what the guys, here's the house.
Well,
because that's what our media does.
Yeah, look, to be fair, on I think it was News 24, I read an article on News 24, their journalist had gone outside the house in, I think, was it Hermanus or Stellenbosch, I don't remember. And the neighbors, because, I mean, Marcus Eustace doesn't live in a normal house as well, Kustas.
Yes.
He lives in a mansion that is gated with high walls. You will not see a thing. You'll just see cars going in and coming out. So the News 24 journalists were told by people who live in the area that you will not see anything here. In fact, they use even the background gate, the family when they come in. So the house is a bit complex like that. But you are right about camping, because that's a question we've got to ask ourselves as the media as well. Normally, when someone who is high profile like that dies, we go camp outside the homes, whether we can see the family coming in or not. And this time around, were we camping there doing live crossings from outside the house? I don't remember.
Nope.
Maybe I've missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as a result, Clement, why are the legs not have been changed? They are victims. You know, the pension funders from government employees, I feel sorry for them. Because they have less probably 12 to 15% of their salary. If their salary at the end of the term was supposed to be 100,000, that employee would only get 70,000. Mm. Where is the face? Mm. Belinda Otendale is in court wanting 150,000. Clement, don't tell me there is no story there. Who is this person who lives on 150,000 rand a month?
Yeah.
But
what will convince you quickly? What will convince you? Would you want to see a picture of him?
What would convince me, Clement, is
a
the post-mortem? Media houses to do their job.
Okay.
One, the media houses must do their jobs. They must follow this story. This story has legs.
Okay.
Secondly, the police officers, who are they? Who are they?
Mm.
They must come and talk. Atlanta Matters Word is not good enough.
Mm.
They must show us the autopsy of their stuff. We don't want to see the violent pictures. Autopsy.
Okay.
Here's the officer who came. Can this officer, were you there, sir? Yes, I was. What did you see? There we go. That's what the job that they needed.
But so, what if that officer was given 3 million rand? I mean, Thabo, listen, I'm not saying that it's the case. Thabo Bester paid people.
Correct.
Thabo Bester was working with officers, with people at the prison officials. Anything is possible, which is why I'm asking, what is going to convince you? Because even if a police officer comes and says, I saw him, I'm the one who got to the crime scene first, people are going to think, what if he was paid? Because people who've got money are capable of anything. My friends, Twisters in Midrand, thank you. Let's hear what other listeners think.
Morning, morning, Clement. Hope you're good. Aye, man. This is another Turbo Booster, man. This is another Turbo Booster, man. I'm telling you, my guy. we want to see the booty. We want to see the booty, Baba. Aye, but yeah, it's not going to be appropriate. But it's easy for these people to organize their death, inverted commas, and then they decide to leave the country and live somewhere else. It's easy. This is Happy to Daisy from Swanville.
Hi, Clement. Can I be devil's advocate? Clement, I'll make a simple example using Turbo Booster. Turbo Booster was the same thing. They found a body, I'm sure. The prison released a statement and they did all these things. Meanwhile, there was corruption involved in that situation, yeah, Turbo Booster. So even with Marcus Joost, I mean, this guy's a billionaire, I'm assuming. He can afford a lot. I'm not saying that he's dead. I'm not saying that he's alive. But where there's smoke, there's fire, Clement. Atlanta Mate can't just come here, release a statement and want us to believe whatever she's saying because the police are trained. The police are trained with forensic and whatnot. No. Doesn't work that way, Clement.
Hey, Clement, don't forget about the billionaires who took a submarine. The four billionaires who disappeared into the ocean. And it was found out, I think they were being investigated, some of them for, I don't know if it was fraud or whatever, but yeah, these guys are capable of it, 100%.
Yeah. Did they ever find the bodies of those billionaires who went in that submarine? Can someone please remind me? What a bizarre story, but also sad if it really happened. Remember, they got into this small little submarine. And after days and days of searching, at some point, they were just declared dead. Did they ever find the body? The bodies of these guys? I remember, I think it had exploded at the time. They probably found clothes, but that's not evidence. It's not evidence of them officially that, yeah, no, they are no more. Yo, yeah. What would satisfy you? It's 9:31.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. It's the 702 open line. I played you a voice note from Atlenda Mati, who's the spokesperson for the police. I wanted her to clarify to you some of the questions that some of you have heard about Marcus Joosta, the person who died, or shall I say allegedly died, a couple of weeks ago. Was it a month or 2 months ago? And because there have been so many questions to myself, by some of the listeners, to my colleagues as well, I thought we should bring in the police to explain what happened and able those who may have missed that. I want you to just play that voice note again from Atlenda Mati. This is how she's explained the details, their own investigation, and how, as the police, they were able to satisfy themselves that the man who shot himself on that day was, in fact, Marcus Joosta. What we also did was try get the first responders, like people who arrived there first on the scene. And we've not been able to find some of them. But we also went to the EMS, for instance, the people who were the first responders. And the EMS told us, we'll come back to you. All I wanted to do is to clarify to you so that you get some clarity and you're not confused anymore. But also you make up your mind about what you believe, because the authorities also told us stuff about Turbo Booster, right? The authorities had an official statement about Turbo Booster, only for us to realize that they themselves either were fooled or were in it. Some of them who were prison officials are facing our crimes with Turbo Booster. So here's what Atlenda Mati said. I had played this voice note earlier, so in case you missed it, Here's how the police say they've satisfied themselves that it is Marcus Yoster who shot himself on that day, and their investigations prove that he is dead.
On Thursday, the 21st of March, at about 15:21, the SAPS Hermanus police officers were called out to a shooting incident. Police arrived together with paramedics, where they found a man with a gunshot wound to his upper body. The man was still breathing, was transported by paramedics to a nearby hospital together with police. The deceased passed on in hospital. The SAPS crime scene examiners, who are trained in crime scene management and investigation, attended to the initial scene where the alleged shooting took place, as well as the hospital where the deceased was certified dead. An inquest docket was immediately registered. An inquest is registered where an investigation is necessary to establish the facts on the cause of death of an individual. The crime scene examiners took the prime residue test to determine if the deceased was the one that fired the weapon, and they took DNA to establish the identity of the deceased. The police will always take DNA in all cases. We take DNA to ascertain identity of the deceased. Photographs were taken. Firearm used in the commission of this incident was confiscated and is still in the possession of the forensic science laboratory, where it is being taken for ballistics testing. It has been established that the firearm was registered in the deceased's name. We cannot divulge details that is in the mandate of the Department of Health. The post-mortem report also belongs to the magistrate. The burial and memorial details is a family matter which police don't get involved in. Police stick to their mandate, which is to investigate. Police are still investigating the inquest. We request the media not to spread false information and sensationalize the matter. We call for responsible reporting. Should there be an update, all relevant departments will communicate.
So that's what she says. Crime residue tests were conducted. The DNA was taken. The photographs that were taken, the firearm that was used, they were able to prove that, in fact, it was registered in Marcus Yoster's name. And now, of course, the police are trying to complete their inquest, because that's the investigation now that they have started. Let's go to your WhatsApps on 0727021702.
Good morning, Clement. I'm not convinced at all, Clement. What are they investigating? Because she's talking about the investigation. For what? If Clement killed himself, what are they investigating? This is South Africa. It's a movie country. After Baxter, everything is possible in this country. This is Itumeleng. This is a lawlessness country.
Hello, 702 listeners and everybody in the studio. Look, I think that for anybody who grew up in the 90s, They know Stefano Demera, who taught us that when you have enough money, power, and imagination, you could do almost anything, right? You could be in many places at the same time. You could be many people at the same time, and you can be nowhere. So I really wouldn't put it past them. I don't think that is as crazy as us, for lack of a better term, normies think it would be. Moloko from Motorfall KZN.
Oh, thank you so much. Tinswalo on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, I may have missed it in the voice note, but did she confirm the hospital that he was taken to? Yes, she did. Not in the clip, but I did ask her a follow-up question. Can you confirm the hospital? And she said it's the MediClinic Hermanus Hospital. So it's the MediClinic Hermanus Hospital where he was taken to.
Morning. I think if DNA tests are done, they cannot be done on a person alone. There has to be some family member who they do a DNA test against. So that family member who the SAPS said they did DNA test against, they must also come. I think they would have the results of the DNA test. So if it's Marcus, if there was my family, they'll do DNA test between me and him as a deceased, and then I'll also get a copy of the DNA test after they do that. So where are the DNA tests that the police said they have done to confirm that indeed the disease was Marcus Yoster?
Morning, Clement. With Marcus Yoster's case, it's different than an entrepreneur or a millionaire who dies in Soweto or any township. People will go there in numbers. and want to see if he's dead or if she's dead. But with Marcus Joster's case, you must remember he stays around people who are rich. Those rich people don't care about their next door neighbors. They don't even know each other. They don't even greet each other. So when he's dead, you just see a mortuary van coming in and going out. Nobody will be standing in the gates and taking photos. Thank you, Clement. That's the difference. Thank you.
But if the police are telling you themselves that we have done the DNA and we've been able to link that to the man himself, does that not satisfy you? When the police say that we've got photographs as well. I mean, as Atlanta says, when it comes to funerals and burials, that's not something that the police are involved in. That's what the family has got to do. Right? That's what the family has got to focus on. But the police are clarifying that, and which is why I'm saying, even if the police end up giving you the photographs, there are some people that are still not going to believe. There are some people that are still going to ask questions about, oh, the police officer who arrived on the scene. What I want to say, though, is, one, I said earlier that I can only imagine how difficult this must be for the family of Marcus Joster, because hate him or love him, you can think whatever you think of him, this was someone who was a loved one to somebody else. So I wonder how triggered they are about conversations and doubts about whether or not he had passed. But at the same time, I understand completely why people are asking themselves questions. And some are even beginning to believe some stories that may not even be non-existent. But I understand why people are asking those questions, because they want to see justice. This man engineered the biggest financial corporate fraud yet in this country. And for some people, especially those that have been impacted, I mean, shareholders losing 200 billion rand in shareholder value, pension holders losing huge losses in the value of pensions that are held in their government employees' pension fund. So people want justice, and they've got every right to ask questions about whether or not the person is dead. I do not fault those people. Especially because we live in a country where the authorities have told us one thing, only for them to be proven differently. So I'm hoping that as the media, we're also going to be doing a lot more work, digging deeper, so that we can clarify to the consumers of our work what in fact is the truth, and what we've been able to uncover. I've told you what Atlanta Mati had to say, and you make up your mind about whether or not that's what you believe or not from the police. But that's what they say, that they are very much satisfied. And I think because the police have also been in instances in the past where they've confirmed things, only for us to come back and realize that someone who died in prison is around walking the streets of Sandton. I'm sure what they want to do now is they want to clarify things first before they even confirm whether people are truly dead or not. I would like to believe that's a lesson that they have learned. So take what the police say, maybe until you are given contrary evidence. But do not be mistaken. The people who are asking those questions, I think, are right to ask them. One, because you want justice. We've seen cases before where people are able to fake their own death just so they can go and live happily ever after elsewhere. It's happened in this country. And that should help us be more careful. And I'm so glad that it's gotten members of the public to ask questions and get the police to account and verify, to avoid deja vu, history repeating itself.
Good morning, Clement. This is Tembi. Yeah, man, regarding the story of this Marcus guy, you know, anything is possible in South Africa, really. After the Thabo Esther story, I don't believe anything that you get told, and there's no pictures, there's nothing. At least with Kevin Watson, remember there was a funeral. We did see the Nomvula Mokonyanes attending that funeral, at least. But this one, oh, okay, thanks, bye.
Hi, Clement. Come on, man. Have you seen the corpse of Nelson Mandela? Have you seen the corpse of Desmond Tutu? Have you seen the corpse of the ministers dying on the roads in car crashes? How come you want to see the corpse of Marcus Huerta? I don't think there's any proof that he's alive. It's all speculation. Cheers.
Yeah. You said Mr. Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu. What did they do? Were they facing criminal charges? Were they about to be arrested to potentially spend the rest of their lives in jail? Were their lives destroyed by the biggest corruption fraud ever that they engineered? I think those are two different stories. But yeah, you're right in that there's no proof that he's alive. Absolutely. If anybody has that proof, please send it to us. There's no proof of that. And chances are the guy is dead. But that doesn't mean South Africans must not ask questions about that and want to verify and satisfy themselves. Because history has shown us that these things are possible. One, there are people that have been impacted by this biggest corporate scandal who want justice. So they are well within their rights to want to make sure that if really, as the police, you're telling us this person is no more, we want to make sure that he is no more. But two, we've had cases in this country where people do that. Thabo Bester has done it. I've told you about this German billionaire. Disappears 6 years ago. Now there are reports that he is living with a mistress in Russia, in Moscow. So, with that context, ask the questions. When government, when the authorities say this, let's go back and ask, what evidence do you have? Can you share it with us? Let's satisfy ourselves, because in the past, they've told us one thing and the other was reality. More of your calls and WhatsApps after the break. Marty, Paul, I see you. I'll get to you now.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Right, let's continue with your voice notes and calls on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Marty in Renberg, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm okay. What are your thoughts?
Clement, my thoughts are, you know, when we had the issues of the Guptas and how things happened in the country, no one believed it until the investigative journalists got their teeth into it. Thabo Bester planned his escape months and months before.
Mm.
This is probably the largest fraudulent scheme that's happened. I don't believe that Marcus Huerta was the only one who was the mastermind with this.
Mm.
And if you believe in conspiracy theories, it's very possible that this could have been arranged months before.
Mm.
But we really need, as a country, to have concrete proof. I mean, he's taken and lost money for very many people.
He has.
So this is where the investigative journalists are a godsend. They're an absolute godsend because they're going to get to the bottom of it. Just as they did with the Guptas, they'll get to the bottom of this.
That's true, Marty. I have faith in our investigative journalists too, whether it's to prove that indeed he's dead or otherwise. And as you say, what he's done has affected so many people. So,
absolutely, all people, their livelihoods.
Yeah, their livelihoods, and people want to know, is he or is he not? Sure. And especially because we've been there. Like, if we didn't have history in this country where someone can fake their death and go live a fancy life in Sandton, we wouldn't be asking these questions. But we live in a country where that's been made possible. There are weaknesses in our systems. That's been proven. And that is why people are asking questions about this chap. And they're going to ask questions about many other people who die under mysterious circumstances. Because they want justice and they want to ensure that history is not repeating itself.
Morning, Clement. Anonymous here. Yeah, the justice story, my man. It's like a movie. As we always say, South Africa is a movie. Let's see how it unfolds when time goes on. But hey, anything is possible here in South Africa. It reminds me of this Bosasa CEO, Gavin Watson. I'm still not convinced as well over the death of Gavin Watson. Thank you.
Yeah, eh? Imagine living in a country where when people die, the first thing we do, we question, are they really? Oh, yeah. We've got so much to fix, man. We've got so much to fix. There are terrible mistakes that have happened. There are terrible weaknesses that are clearly there and have been identified in some of our systems, and we need to fix those. Otherwise, you're really breeding a community and a society that is constantly going to question every move, going to question every confirmation you give, because in the past, you've lost their trust by confirming something only for it to be proven differently by investigators. Hey, South Africa, hey?
South Africa is a movie. We live in a drama. It's a series. Every day you will be shocked by something new.